Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Perry Link, who holds a Chancellorial Chair for Innovative Teaching across disciplines and is also a Professor of Comparative Literature and Foreign Languages at the University of California, Riverside. One of the world's foremost experts on China's language, culture, and people, he has translated many Chinese stories, writings, and poems into English. And in 1990, he edited the Tiananmen Papers, a collection of documents leaked by a high-level Chinese official that helped chronicle the events that led up to and followed the pro-reform students' protests in June of 1989. In 1996, the Chinese government blacklisted Perry Link. Welcome to Background Briefing, Perry Link.
My pleasure to be here, Ian.
And Perry, how come the Chinese Premier Wen Jiabai's family have been able to accrue assets worth at least $2.7 billion, which the New York Times just recently did an exhaustive investigative report uncovering the corporate DNA of the various members of the family. So, I mean, should we be surprised?
No, we shouldn't be surprised. And the first thing to point out is that this family is not the only one. Just a few months ago, Bloomberg News revealed a similar pattern in the family of Xi Jinping, the man who's about to take over. And a couple of months before that, the Financial Times had an even broader account of many of the top leaders in this pattern. It's long been rumored on the Chinese internet, in the Chinese public, that this kind of thing goes on. And what this David Barbosa has done is to meticulously, and I understand he worked on it for more than a year, gathering data to make this extremely impressive, you know, blockbuster revelation. But is it a surprise? No. The achievement that he has done is to be able to nail it all down. And in particular, in my mind, to attach it to Hong Kong money, which suggests overseas connections for the money as well.
So I suppose the reason for this is that China's essentially capitalist economy, which is booming, is regulated by a communist party. And so many of these wealthy and powerful state enterprises are state-controlled enterprises. So the party officials can basically put their fist in the till and nobody knows any the better, right?
Yes, this is what the New York Times columnist a number of years ago dubbed market Leninism. It's not freewheeling raw capitalism entirely. It is that. But at the core, the hugest companies are controlled by people that are connected to the top. Now, there is a very strong tradition in Chinese culture that goes back centuries against public corruption by officials. So that means that when this is done, it has to be done under ruses and guises and hidden. Right when the reforms began in the 1980s, the typical pattern was that the people with political power would move into a state enterprise, a factory or a mine or something, and use their political power to get the resources they needed in order to set up private companies, and they would skim off the profitable parts of these enterprises, and then if something went wrong with the rest of it, just let it go and continue to be a public enterprise. But later, by now, I think the more common pattern is just old-fashioned graft that, again, is not done explicitly. Wen Jiabao issued a statement yesterday, also reported in today's New York Times, that he himself has not been involved in all of these companies. And in a technical sense, I bet that's right. What happens is that everyone knows that he's the one that can pull certain levers to make certain things be possible or not, permits and access to resources and so on. And his family members, in his stead show up and say, wouldn't you like to cooperate with me, and here's the price, and I'll be on your board, and so on. And so the pattern that Barbosa has revealed is to show how all the family members on both sides, in-laws and blood-related, have done this and profited immensely.
Again, I'm speaking with Perry Leek, an expert on China, who in the 1990s edited the Tiananmen Papers, a collection of documents leaked by high-level Chinese officials that helped chronicle the events that led up to the pro-reform student protests in 1989. In 1996, the Chinese government blacklisted Perry Leek. Now, clearly the Chinese government have cracked down on media dissemination of this story. They've blocked the New York Times website, and the Wen Jiabao's family have rejected the New York Times, not surprisingly, article. But of course, this flies in the face of what Mr. Wen has, as Chinese premier, has crafted this image of himself over the last 10 years as having the common touch with a leader who has great concerns for the lives of ordinary people. Are the ordinary people in China likely to find out about this?
I think, the ordinary people, meaning workers and farmers and so on, probably not, and it'll probably take a long time if they do. The ones that are net savvy and know how to use VPNs to jump the great firewall, as we call it, and get outside of the Chinese internet that's censored will know about it, and already do know about it. And in those circles, the news is spreading quickly. But will it seep down to the ordinary people? No. You're quite right, though, to point out that it's especially ironic that Wen Jiabao's family is found to be so moneyed, because he is the one who's been the regime symbol for the last 10 years for crocodile tears. Anytime there's a blizzard or a flood or an earthquake, he's the one who rushes to the scene and beats his chest and says, I feel your pain, and so on. And the ordinary people, they buy this in general. So that if his story gets out, it will be doubly subversive of the regime's pretense that it doesn't engage in this kind of thing. In other words, if he is this dirty with money, then everybody else must be, will be what ordinary people conclude.
So, Perry Leek, I understand that what's going on behind the scenes is a succession struggle in this normally bland transition, which is not happening this time, that the Communist Party Politburo is deadlocked with intra-party wrangling over power, privilege, and profit. And it seems to have started with the Bo Xilai case. Give us a sense of the factions here, because clearly, a lot of stuff is being leaked here by people who are involved in this internal power struggle.
Yes, you're really on the ball, Ian. You do your homework. The speculations about why these reports have been leaked. But first, I must say, in fairness to David Barbosa, he has defended himself against the charge that he's only used leaks and shown how he's done his research independently for more than a year. He has immense integrity. I believe him. But the larger picture, that yes, there is a political struggle. One of the standard ways to try to discredit your rival in these political struggles is to accuse them of corruption, because as I mentioned a moment ago, there's a long, strong tradition in China against official corruption. Another favorite is sexual dalliance, and Bo Xilai, among other things, was accused of that. It is not impossible to say, though, at least for me, exactly who is doing what to whom. This goes on inside a black box. We can, of course, discern the main factions. There's the Shanghai group that's around the former president, Jiang Zemin, and that is somewhat at odds with the Hu Jintao group. The new leader coming in, if he does make it, and it looks like he will, the new leader, Xi Jinping, is in the Shanghai group, so there is a shift there of the tectonic plates, and there's a lot of back and forthing. Bo Xilai, of course, played his cards wrong and now is completely discredited and will be lucky if he doesn't get a long prison term. But exactly, who is helping which journalists to get access to what stuff is hard to pinpoint. I can't do it. But that it's happening and that it reflects a struggle at the top, I think, is beyond question.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Perry Leek.
My pleasure.
Again, I've been speaking with Perry Link, who holds a chancellorial chair for innovative teaching across disciplines and is also a professor of comparative literature and foreign languages at the University of California, Riverside. He's one of the world's foremost experts on Chinese language, culture, and people. He's translated many Chinese stories, writings, and poems into English, and in the 1990s, he edited the Tiananmen Papers, a collection of documents leaked by a high-level Chinese official that helped chronicle the events that led up to and followed the pro-reform student protests in June of 1989. In 1996, the Chinese government blacklisted Perry Link. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for streaming and podcasting at ianmasters.com, where we welcome your comments. And the conversation continues online at facebook.com/ianmastersmedia. And I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Disappeared by half past.